in Psalm 129. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to take a literary license to stick a pen in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked." And I want to borrow from the songwriter just a very, very familiar song title that we have heard, "Break Every Chain." Amen. Break every chain. Y'all gonna pray for me this morning, aren't you? I need your prayers this morning. Amen. The psalmist uses analogies to describe what his life was like. And there in verse 4, he uses the word cords to give us a description of what he was encountering in his life. You see, in biblical times, cords were used to bind up. And they were used to tie up. Cords were used to restrict. And if you wanted an animal or an individual or anything to be restricted, you use cords to tie it up. You use cords to tie it down. So the psalmist is saying this morning that my life was tied up and tangled up and bound up by the wicked. And I don't know about you, but there are some times in this life that we feel tied up. There are some times that we feel bound. And we want our freedom, but the chains that have us so restricted, they won't allow us freedom. So the psalmist is painting this picture this morning. And he says in verse 4 that he was bound, but the Lord, the righteous God, cut asunder the cords of the wicked. And just like the songwriter, the psalmist is saying to us that God is able to break every chain. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. If you don't know anything about that, evidently you haven't ever been bound. But if you've ever been in a situation where you felt like you never were going to be able to get out of it, but God stepped in and made a way out of no way. Oh, I wonder, do I have any witnesses this morning? You are willing to admit and you would testify that God is able to break every chain. I'm so glad that we serve a God that has the power and the ability to break every chain. Because you see, in this life, we have chains that will come on three levels. I'm going to go on and get finished this morning. First, you're going to have chains that's going to come on the physical level. All right? Amen. And you're also going to have chains that will come on the mental level. But not only do chains come mentally and physically, but you're also going to have chains that come on the spiritual level. Well, Pastor, what kind of change are you talking about? Well, the psalmist tells us right there in Psalm 129. First, we're going to have to encounter, if you're a child of the Lord, you're going to encounter some change. And let me do just a little bit of testifying right there. If you haven't encountered any change, it's probably because God ain't using you. Help me today. Amen. Because see, when God uses you, there's going to be some discomfort that goes along with God using you. I believe I can bring it close to home. They're going to have the Super Bowl next week. But let me assure you that the guy that's standing on the sideline don't have to worry about getting hurt because they ain't playing in the game. Let me tell you something. You looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you ain't never been hurt, it's probably because you sitting on the sideline. Glory to God. But if you get in the game, let me tell you, there are going to be some chains that's going to try to hold you. There are going to be some physical chains. First one, the physical is the chain of affliction. Everybody say affliction. Amen. Amen. And we all know something about physical affliction. Oh, I didn't know that my body could hurt in so many places until I got a certain age. Amen. I used to hear him say, Lord, I thank you that there ain't no pain racking through my body. And I used to wonder, Sister Julia, what they mean by pain racking through your body. But I've lived long enough to know what it feel like when a pain dart through on this side and don't leave over on this side and you don't know where the pain is coming from. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you will experience some physical affliction. Oh, I wish I had a praying church this morning. But you know, not only will you experience physical affliction, but you'll also experience mental affliction too. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, let me tell you something. They used to pray, Lord, I thank you that I'm clothed in my right mind. And I used to think, Brother Jeremiah, that they were just saying that because they thought it sounded good and it sounded pretty. But I live long enough to I can just wave my hand and say, thank you, Lord, I'm clothed in my right mind. But not only physical and mental, but we also have spiritual affliction. And I don't want to rain on your parade, but I want you to know that we do have an enemy. Amen. And his name is Satan. And my Bible tells me that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Satan is not walking around with a red suit on with a pitchfork. Oh, no. Amen. Because, see, Satan is in spiritual places. So the Apostle Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, y'all didn't say amen wrong. Now, let me break it down for you. See, people ain't your problem, baby. Amen. I know you got somebody that you just, I can't stand there. But they ain't your problem. See, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the rulers of against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if you want to get mad at somebody, child of God, get mad at the devil. Amen. And love your enemies and bless them that curse you. But look, make sure that you keep your foot on the devil. See, we spend more time fighting with one another when we need to be fighting the enemy. We spend more time talking about one another when we need to be making sure that we got our foot on the devil's head. Do I have a witness in this place today?
Well, I see that I'm not going to get through here, so I'm going to go on and give you the outline. As children of God, we experience physical afflictions, and we experience mental afflictions. We also experience spiritual afflictions. But not only do we encounter affliction, we also encounter oppression. Somebody might want to write that down. Amen. We encounter oppression. And I know I'm not going to get to it today, so I'm going to go on and let you know that not only do we encounter affliction and oppression, but we also encounter persecution. If you're a child of God, you just might as well get ready for it, baby. You're going to encounter some affliction, some oppression, and some persecution. Amen. Well, and listen, in all three of those, we've got to learn how to trust God. That's all I'm going to be able to have time to tell you this morning. You got to learn how to trust God. And we got to trust God on three levels. First, I wanted to say that we need to learn how to trust God at the desperation level. But because, see, life will throw you some curves and you want to play cute to everybody else, but you desperate. Help me today. You don't know how you're going to make it because you're dealing with desperation. Well, there's a story of a man that was in a desperate situation because the Bible said that he was sick of the palsy. And he was so sick that he was confined to his house. And he couldn't get out and get to the place to where Jesus was. Because the word had got around that Jesus was going to be preaching in the house of the Lord. And he wanted to make it to where Jesus was going to be preaching. And I wish there were more folk that wanted to make it to where the Lord's word is going to be preached at. We wouldn't have no room in here this morning if folk were more that had a respect and regard for the word of God. You don't need to worry about what I'm going to say. You need to be worried about what God is going to say. Because see, if you think about what God is going to say, then you can forget about what I'm going to say. Because God said that the grass withers and the flower will fade, but my word will stand forever. So he wanted to get to somewhere where he could hear a word. And he had four friends, and they came over to his house, and they told him, they said, well, we know that you're in a desperate situation. So, you know, sometimes you got to trust God in desperation. So you know what he and his friends did? They said, well, look here, we can't call 911 because they ain't got no ambulance that's going to come out here and get me. But I want to go to where Jesus is. So they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put two in the front and we're going to put two in the back. And we want you to get up on this cot and we're going to take you to where Jesus is. And sometime in desperation, you got to use innovation so that you can get to your destination. I said something. Y'all ain't writing it down. I said sometime in your desperation, you're going to have to use innovation to get to your destination. So there they were on their way to where Jesus was. But they got to the place where Jesus was. I told you, you got to learn how to trust him on three levels. Because they had trusted him at the desperation stage. But you got to trust him on another level too. So because when they got to the place to where Jesus was, they couldn't get in the house where Jesus was preaching. Because the Bible said that the door was blocked. And couldn't nobody get in the door. So you not only have to trust him at the desperation stage, you got to trust him at the deliberation stage. Oh, amen. I know what I'm talking about. Because see, after you've gone through desperation, then there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to have to deliberately trust God. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, somebody already said it. They couldn't come in through the door. So they decided what we're going to do is we're going to go up. And they decided that they were going to go up on the rooftop. Now, you got to use your sanctified imagination this morning. They had to use innovation to get him to the house. Amen. But when they got there, they had to use ingenuity to get him on top of the house. Glory to God. You got to have something that's a little bit stronger than innovation to get somebody from the ground on top of the roof. Oh, you just think about it for a minute. It was easy for two to get in the front and two to get in the back, Sister Jackie. But how you going to get him to the rooftop? Oh, somebody say, well, Pastor, maybe they could use some cords, some ropes, and they could tie a rope on all four corners. And then they could get on top of the house and come on, somebody, and pull him up. And that's all right. But let me tell you something. It's a rough ride going up on top of that house when somebody pulling you up. And I stopped by to tell you this morning that sometimes when God is when God is pulling you up, it's going to be a rough ride. Glory to God. See, some folks, they don't want no rough ride. They want everything to be easy. But I'm leaving my sanctified imagination. It was a rough ride up on that housetop. It wasn't easy for her. And I can believe there was some folks standing around saying, that ain't going to work. He going to fall off there. And he going to be in worse shape than he was when he started. But look, when you trust in God, sometimes you have to trust God on purpose in deliberation. And you say, look here, I ain't worried about what nobody's thinking. I'm just trusting God. I'm not worried about what folks going to say about me. I'm just going to trust God. I'm not worried about whether I fall, because if I fall one time, I'm going to get back on here and try it again. I'm just going to trust God. Well, I'm not going to have time to get through to all of this, but listen, when they got up on top of the roof, they had trusted him for desperation and trusted him in deliberation. But then they had to learn how to trust God for dedication. Hallelujah. Because see, when they got up there, you know the story. The Bible said that they tore up the roof. Now you got to understand what was going on in those days, because see, in biblical times, roofs were made out of sod.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And they had grass that was growing on the roof. The psalmist talks about it right there in 129. You check me out. I know what I'm talking about. And the psalmist said that it's like the grass that grows on the roof. It's not there to grow up so that you can mow it and have a luscious lawn. No, see, that grass was up there not because of the blade, but because of the roof. Glory. I'm preaching, but y'all ain't saying amen. Because see, sometimes God ain't concerned about what's going up, but he's concerned about what's going down. He ain't concerned about what's showing on the outside, but he's concerned about what's on the inside. He's not concerned about what's on top of the ground. He's concerned about what's going down beneath. Because see, what these roots would do, these roots would hold all of that soil together. And if it held that soil together, then it would work just like the roof on this place. It would make sure that the elements would stay out. But they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up here and we're going to tear up the roof. So they removed the roof on the house. And I believe when they got up there and they said, well, we're going to have to remove the roof, but we got to get him down there to where Jesus is. This is the last point. Because see, when you trust in God for dedication, yeah, sometimes it's easier. You can trust when folk pulling you up.
Yeah.
Oh, but when folk let you down, glory. I'm all right. Long as you pulling me up. But it takes another level of faith when you let me
down.
When you let me down. Because see, I got to be sold out for God when you let me down. I got to be dedicated to God when you let me down. I got to realize that you can't do nothing anyway, baby, because I'm trusting in God. I'm depending on God. I'm not depending on nobody else. I'm depending on God. They let him down because he was dedicated. He said, I don't care what happened. I got to get to Jesus. I made it this far by faith, and I ain't turning back now. I don't care if the ride down is a little scary, but I got to get to Jesus. And let me tell you something. When you dedicated, child of God, from where you are to where you're trying to get to, there are going to be some moments when the wind might get to blowing. And the ride might get a little shaky. And it might get a little unstable. But I want you to know something. If you trust in God with all your heart, he will make a way somehow. I'm going to have to
cut it off right there. There's a lot more that I could say. A lot more that I could say. We'll have to talk about oppression and persecution at another time. But I want to say to somebody here today, if you are like the psalmist, you recognize that affliction comes on the just as well as the unjust. My Bible tells me that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. I might be going through something like right now, but I'm waiting on God's deliverance. I might be having a challenge in my life right now, but I'm waiting on his deliverance. Things may not be where I want them to be right now, but I'm waiting on God's deliverance. I might be fighting diabetes, but diabetes is no match for deliverance. I might be fighting high blood pressure, but high blood pressure is no match for deliverance. I might have pain all in my body, arthritis and rheumatism, but they are no match for deliverance. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I want you to know something, child of God, that no matter what goes on and whatever betides thee, God will take care of you. Won't he do it?